The other thing, though, that goes much further is the idea of the brain being able to be manipulated by external fields. This is an area of extensive research by military planners. In fact, you know, when you look at the whole direction that they've intended to go with this, it's really about command and control capabilities of the military. We used to think about that as, you know, controlling equipment and hardware and bombs and bullets. One of the most recent articles that I've read on this issue came out of the Air Force Research Laboratory's Technology Horizons, which is a publication they put out monthly. This particular article was put together by the Directorate dealing with electromagnetic weapon systems, and this is what they're predicting is possible in the upcoming years. And this is what it says, and I quote, "By studying and modeling the human brain and the nervous system, the ability to mentally influence or confuse personnel is also possible. Through sensory deception, it may be possible to create synthetic images or holograms to confuse an individual's visual sense, or in a similar manner confuse his senses of sound, taste, touch, or smell. In other words, to interfere with the normal way the brain interprets its external reality and be able to synthesize that, to create it artificially." And when you think about that, there may be some interesting applications, but when you consider sort of the military's drive to this is to control the ultimate operator of hardware, which is the human being, to be able to influence human beings and not destroy hardware in the process is what part of what controlled effects is all about. This article, titled by that name, actually talks about, you know, using technology for impacting, for instance, the things operating within a weapon system, the computer guidance systems, being able to interfere with those on one level using energy, and then on another level being able to actually melt circuits or destroy circuits, and then on another level being able to manipulate those people that are actually controlling those circuits. And ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about controlling the battlefield environment and controlling the combatants that you're facing within the battlefield that this technology is advancing along those lines.
The Israelis have a device which they're using now to control crowds.
Yeah.
And we have this too. And I'm not sure who developed it first, quite frankly. We may have. But it's that sound machine that literally brings people down to their knees and makes them nauseous. They can't do whatever they're supposed to do in a violent or nonviolent demonstration.
Right.
Is that a form of mind control, Nick?
It's more you're really affecting the physical body in that instance. I mean, certainly you create terror in those instances as well. I mean, the latest one of the U.S. military is the one that creates the heat on the surface of the skin using a pulsed microwave. And this creates a sensation of about 130 degrees on the surface of the skin, like you're on fire. And certainly that's going to create significant, you know, emotional distress. The idea of using a pulsed microwave is kind of interesting to me, because by changing the frequency, the pulse rate, the waveform, or any number of factors, you can affect much different things. In fact, you can use that very same system for impacting emotional states of individuals, and the research exists to demonstrate it. The sad story is that when you introduce these new technologies, not usually the whole story is told. You know, you have to have an answer for what you're bringing into the battlefield, using sound for creating feelings of nauseous or flu-like symptoms is something that has been demonstrated in weapons applications. When you look at the development of pulse microwave signals for affecting the human body, not just the brain, but every organ of the body, the Air Force contracted with the University of Utah and produced what was called the Radio Frequency Dosimetry Handbook, which is sort of the dosages of radio frequency necessary to override the lungs, the liver, the heart, or even the brain of an individual and to affect them. And the part of that that was public, that wasn't classified, is pretty telling in terms of the direction in which the research is headed. And, you know, when you go back to the mid-80s, there was a lot of interest because they had discovered that you could influence externally people's behavior in pretty profound ways. And the idea of using this as in weapons applications became really a major effort of the U.S. military. At the same time, within the classification of what are called non-lethal weapons, and these are technologies that don't necessarily kill, but can have debilitating or devastating effect. the thing about non-lethal weapons development in the United States today is you get priority funding if you have dual use, if you can be used for Department of Defense or DOD applications, and if you can use the same technology for domestic applications for crowd control, riot control purposes and the like.
Is that why they're developing mind control devices, Nick, and capabilities? Is it all for a bigger picture? And we're going to get into after the break this dark side of all this. But basically, what's the purpose? What's the reason?
I think it's all about control, you know, and I think that's, this is again where, you know, technologies today are capable of changing the very face of the planet. You know, in the last couple of years, we have been given the privilege of serving on a foundation that's set up explicitly to develop dialogue with the public and educate the public on technology issues such as these. And it's the Lay Foundation, Lay Institute on Technologies, and it was set up in Dallas, Texas by Dorothy Lay, primarily to do research into these areas and make sure that we have an opportunity to bring these issues forward to the public in a way that creates a good discussion and knowledge of how these technologies can be used and how they are being used in ways that can negatively impact. So when you talk about victims of this type of technology, at some level, everyone in the country becomes a victim of the technology that we develop if we don't develop it wisely.
I remember a movie, Nick, where a company developed computer software, and they would sell it worldwide. But something in the software, when you were looking at your computer, kind of like hypnotized you or controlled your mind.
Right.
Is it conceivable that that is what's going on now, where they're trying to control everybody and we don't even know it?
I think that's a very strong possibility, and I'll tell you, the you know, the idea of utilizing other transmission systems using computer systems, the Soviets discovered what's called the 25th frame effect, where every 25th frame they can flash something in front of you that will definitely register with the subconscious and create changes.
Just one frame, boom. Right.
Yeah. And now the other thing that has happened is there was an article published in a Russian military journal called Orienteer. It was later reprinted and translated into English in the U.S. Army War College's Perimeters, and the article was called in the U.S. version, "The Mind Has No Firewalls." And within that article, they discussed a number of different ways to affect human behavior using these kinds of systems. And what they say in the context of that is pretty telling. In fact, I've got a short quote. I'm going to try and dig it out here while we're talking.
Okay.
And this is what it said in the paper. It said, "A psychotronic generator which produces a powerful electromagnetic emanation capable of being sent through telephone lines, TV, radio networks, supply pipes, and incandescent lamps. This signal would manipulate the behavior of those in contact with the signal." In other words, anyone around the power grid, the telephone system, or the internet for that matter. And when you look at that and you think about it, I mean, we're all in that grid, if you will. I mean, because everything around us, you know, carries energy. The thing is you can put on those carriers that will carry a signal in, and that will have a much different effect than just powering your light bulbs in your house. And this is exactly what the Russians had discovered years ago and openly disclosed in what's considered public literature.